This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hour three rolling along this morning. Thank you for joining us. Good Friday to you. Hope you have a great weekend, especially Father's Day weekend. Adam Fonseca joined us. He is from Golf Unfiltered, not Golf Unlimited. Thanks, Mr. Russell Wilson. Golf Unlimited.
Yeah, that was my bad. I had Russell Wilson on the mind.
Run Golf Unlimited. No, it's actually Golf Unfiltered. So check it out, Golf Unfiltered, to get his podcast. Good stuff, really good stuff. We got some breaking news in the NBA. I'll get to it in just a second. But I do want to say that round two is going on at the U.S. Open right now. I think now that if this is going to turn into the RBC Heritage, I think there's a lot of people open up to this. Right? Like, seriously, when I asked them the questions, like, there are golfers that are like, I'm never winning the U.S. Open. Never. I don't have the mindset for it. I can't. Yeah. I can't play a game where an inch becomes 70 feet. I don't like it, but I'll play it, but I'm not going to win it. But now it's like, well, if I can throw darts at everything, I'm good at that. I can be competitive at that. So you might start seeing a lot more people in contention for this thing when it's all
said. Yeah, I heard Ricky Fowler started. He's aced the first seven holes.
Yeah, right.
So
yeah, right.
Just he's kidding, guys. Just kidding. Par. He's 17 under par.
Goodness.
He's only played 14 holes. It's weird. It's wild.
It's wild. We got breaking news in the NBA, two bits. One is that Ja Morant has been suspended 25 games for the gun Instagram situation that Adam Silver said, I will not release until after the finals. I will not bog the finals down with any news on this
it's
done.
I mean,
and he waited.
Parade was yesterday, so that means that we're done celebrating the Nuggets. Yesterday, right?
That's right. That's it.
That
we're
was
done.
It. And
they're done.
Now the season's officially completed, and now we focus on the bad things.
I'm going to say this. I know what Ja Morant had two strikes on him on this one. He had one at the Denver club, and they suspended him, and then the team suspended him, and he ended up sitting out a while. The second one was enough for Silver to step in and go, all right, he's getting a big suspension. Now, there were people that speculated, would it be a year? That seemed very, very strict. That seemed very high. But some had said, well, you can't do half a year, because if you do half a year and Memphis gets their star back after he doesn't have to play 40 games, and he comes, like, he gets to come back fresh. He gets to come back for the stretch run with no wear and tear, just gets himself in shape, keeps himself sharp, then Memphis has an advantage. I think 25 is right. He's going to play three quarters of the season. That's enough to not give Memphis a huge advantage when he does return late. But I haven't looked into if there was anything like, and the third strike, you'll be out for a long time.
And to all of you out there saying, you know, who are going to scream to the high heavens about this, that it was like, oh, it's his personal time, or it was a fake gun, blah, blah, blah. For me, I look at it as like the NBA has an image that they need to protect of themselves.
Yeah, that's what you agree to when you join the company. That is it. You know, listen, I'm going to tell a story. I am not. This is nowhere near Ja Morant on that level. But I remember when I was young in radio, and I didn't know the business. I had just gotten into the business, and there was an employee at the radio station that was pulled over for a DUI. And he said he had had some DUIs in the past, so they stripped his license away for 3 years, and he got an attorney. And he said, hey, I'm going to fight this in court. And he came to me and he said, hey, would you mind testifying on my behalf that I was here from, you know, 9 o'clock to like 11:30, and then I left. And I said, yeah, you were here. We worked on that project together, and I remember you leaving because we said goodbye, et cetera. And he goes, that I wasn't drunk. And I said, yeah, okay. So I remember I testified at the trial, and I remember my general manager called me in and he said, hey man, because I was in the paper. It was like a little glip in the paper that I was at this trial. And he's like, you can't do that. He's like, you got to tell us first. And I'm like, well, why do I have to tell you? Like, he's like, well, cause your name is now associated with this station. Like they used your name and the radio station together, and I'm responsible for this station. And I remember, like, he wasn't angry because he knew I was young, but he was trying to remind me, like, you don't get to just do whatever you want. Like, you got to tell us what you're going to do if it's going to be part of some court. Because don't get me wrong, it wasn't a story. I don't want to paint it as this was a major, like, there was a reporter. It was just, in the courts today, blah, 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 blah. It was just a regular old court news in the paper, and that was in the paper. And you learn very quickly that, yeah, you're now associated with some entity, public entity, and that's Ja Morant. I mean, on a level a billion times more than me at this small radio station. And that's the argument I would make to people that says, while he does have a Second Amendment right, all of those things are true, the way he showed the gun, the way he flashed the gun, the way he used his social media is associated with the NBA. He has a social media following because he plays in the NBA. And so, yeah, the NBA is very concerned about their image and what their players are projecting, right? Yeah. And all right, if you had an NBA player that was in hunting gear with a rifle on Instagram, he would not get the same treatment as Ja Morant flashing it in a strip club or a car. That's just, unfortunately, that's it. If you want to make the Second Amendment argument, right? I think that the suspension is right. I think if it's too much, again, you give Memphis an unfair advantage. Part of the season is the wear and tear on the body. Part of the season is going through the dog days of the winter. That's not a term, but you know what I mean. Playing in Cleveland in January. Playing in Milwaukee on Saturday, February 2nd, right? Like, going through those. 25 games, it still means he's got a good little less than three-quarters of the way. 82-game season, it's a little more than a quarter. It's a little less than, a third? It's a little less than a third, so you still get a good chunk of the season that you're going to be participating in. So it doesn't give Memphis. People are like, if you give him 50 games, what does he come back for 30 and then he's fresh for the playoffs? That's crazy. Now, so that's one bit of NBA news. The second is that Michael Jordan is selling his majority stake in the Charlotte Hornets. And I'm confused with this story.
Yes.
Because both Woj and Darren Revelle are saying that Jordan is selling a majority stake. He gets to still keep a minority stake, but he's selling his portion of the Charlotte Hornets for $3 billion.
I'm having a hard time believing the Hornets are worth more or are worth $1 billion less, let's say, right? Didn't the Broncos sell for $4 billion?
The Broncos were $4+ billion.
So, or closer to five,
I think it was 4.6.
All right. That they're only a billion and a half off?
An NFL team in Denver that has a lot of quote-unquote territory, meaning like Wyoming and the Dakotas and all that. That has
a couple of championships. There's a pedigree and a heritage to that team.
In the most popular sport in America?
Yeah.
And Charlotte is worth more, almost that? Because I want to know what percentage he owned. Like, because he's not selling the whole thing. He was not the 100% owner of the team.
Yeah, maybe he just needs some cash.
One of the guys he's selling it to, Gabe Plotkin, is a minority owner in the. So he's basically saying, I have this percentage. I'm selling you this percentage. I'm going to keep this percentage. Or maybe he's dumping the whole thing. I saw a report where he was still going to be a minority owner, but maybe that's not the case. Maybe he's selling the whole thing. But if he's selling the whole thing, then the Hornets going to be worth, 3.5? $4 billion? What was Gabe Plotkin's value of what he owned? I don't know. But $3 billion? The Clippers sold 10 years ago for $2 billion. Charlotte's worth that much? That's crazy.
Well, okay, then that makes you think too. Like, how much are the Clippers worth now? If it was $2 billion 10 years ago.
Well, you made a good point. The Lakers have got to be $75 billion.
Yeah, I would say the Lakers, Celtics, Knicks.
Yeah.
You know, I'm choosing like the top markets, the top teams in those markets.
If the Charlotte Hornets.
Is $70 billion too much?
Which, by the way, is an expansion team from. A while ago, but still an expansion team. The original Hornets of Larry Johnson are the Pelicans.
That's right. Yeah.
They're the Pelicans.
Bobcats.
Bobcats are the Hornets.
Yeah, the new edition.
Yeah, so whenever year the Bobcats came into the league,
then they changed their name.
Then they became the Hornets. But it might have been like 20 years ago. I mean, it's been a while. It's not like it was yesterday. Okay. But still, $3 billion.
I said the Lakers and Celtics as $70 billion as a joke. But I'm thinking about it more. I'm starting to process it what has Charlotte done?
Man, we used to joke about the Cowboys. Remember we said like, oh well, they got to be $10 billion. Commanders are going for $6 billion. The Cowboys have got to go for $15 billion. Cowboys might be $100 billion by this metric.
Yes. I mean, well, okay, you know, we got to
put the Cowboys and the Hornets on a scale.
All right, but we got to take a step back here because one thing we're failing to realize is the global dominance
of the
global
NBA?
Of the NBA.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know,
that's very true. Good
you know,
point.
NFL
very good point.
NFL's not going to sell as well overseas where the NBA does.
There's a lot of money coming from all sorts of places around the globe. That's
so, I mean,
point.
there's that. But still, that $3 billion still seems like a lot, even on a global scale for Charlotte. Does it make that – and that's why we got to use a scale. It's like, all right, if they're $3 billion, I mean, I guess it's not out of the realm. I mean, realistically, the Lakers, Celtics are probably $25
billion. Yeah, I can't imagine the Lakers being less than $25 billion on the global market. I can't imagine that they wouldn't
based on a $3 billion sale by the Hornets.
My goodness. All right, so again, breaking news, John Morant, 25 games, and Michael Jordan's $3 billion richer than he already is by selling his majority stake of the Charlotte Hornets. We'll continue on Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio.
Is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Okay, so more on the Jordan story. According to ESPN.com and Woj, Jordan will keep a minority stake. He will also continue to have a presence with the franchise. So that begs the question, what percentage of the Hornets is he going to keep? So what percentage of it was the $3 billion that he's going to get? Because, again, there were other people that had a sliver of this pie, including the guy he's selling the majority share to. He's selling it to two people, Rick Schnall, who was the minority owner with the Atlanta Hawks, and Gabe Plotkin, who's a minority owner in Charlotte. Also, country singer Eric Church and another singer, J. Cole, are going to be owning this team as well. Listen, if you've got money, if you've got an investment guy and you're an entertainer or whatever, and you've got money and your investment portfolio advisor says, I can get you a 3% share of this sports franchise, you would be wise to dump your money into
it. No, I saw a report yesterday. Ricky Fowler, Justin Thomas, and Jordan Spieth are going to buy a portion of Leeds United.
Yeah, right? Why not?
Over in England. I mean,
sure.
That's in talks. I mean, the Sky Sports reporter was interviewing them, and they're like, well, we're in talks, but yeah, the rumors are, you know, Ricky Fowler confirming that the rumors are true, that those three are trying to buy an ownership into that soccer club. And yeah. I was like, God, there's nothing that these guys don't go after anymore.
Why not? Why not? It's going to return. It's going to give you a return on your investment.
Is it the best return of investment?
It's like got to be.
Investing in something?
Listen, I wish I was more of a financial genius, but I'm not. But here's what I see
like,
all
other
the time
than real
in this
estate,
world.
Right?
Right. But here's what I see all the time, okay? So-and-so sold their share of this team for $1.2 billion or $1.5 billion. He paid $250 million for it 4 years ago. Like, I see those stories all the time where somebody dumps a quarter of a billion into something, and then a short time later, they're selling it for $2 billion, a billion and a half, whatever it is. It seems like when you buy a part of an NBA team or an NHL team or whatever it is, and you sell it, it's like quadruple the money that comes back to you. So, yeah, of course, if you have a chance to buy into these things, buy into these things.
So here's an article from last year.
Uh-huh.
All right, March 9th, 2022. I think this valuation has changed now that we know that the Charlotte Hornets are going for $3 billion.
Right.
But I was just curious. Jerry Buss bought the Lakers. You care to venture a guess how much you bought the Lakers for?
No. Go ahead.
24 million.
I was going to say 15 million.
24 million.
Back in 1978, yeah. Something like that?
Which is now that 24 million that he bought it for is actually 95.57 million. So it's still under $100
million. Still under $100
million
in today's money.
Right. And this article has the valuation of that to be $5.5 billion, what the current valuation of the Lakers is. And if the Hornets are selling for $3 billion, yeah, that's 5.5 is not. I can't imagine Lakers only being $2 billion more than the Hornets.
No.
So, I mean, that number has definitely gone up. But you're talking about what we just said, your return of investment. I mean, they spent $24 million back in 1970. So I can't remember what it was either.
It was like 78. Because he owned it for a couple of years before they got Magic.
Yeah. But, I mean, that's a return of investment. Now, obviously, I don't think the Buss family's ever going to sell it.
Right.
It's like royalty in a way. It's like you don't give up the kingdom.
Same thing with Jerry Jones. What, 125?
125.
For the Cowboys in 89, 88, which was 30-something years ago, and now it's got to be $8 billion.
It's borderline between 8 and 10 billion.
Yeah. I mean, if you're Jerry Jones, never sell. Never, ever sell. But let's say
But we can't
Jones
say never, ever because.
Never, ever. You never know.
You know, what if it's a great grandson of Jerry Jones who's just like, I don't want to do this anymore.
No, I don't want to. I just rather buy
we
a.
We still
country.
Haven't made a Super Bowl. It's been 120 years.
I get yelled at everywhere I go. I'd rather just buy an island. I buy a country. Heck, I buy a country.
I'd rather buy a planet.
Right? Exactly. So. But let's say Jerry Jones said today, I'm taking bids for the Cowboys. I wouldn't start less than $10 billion.
Oh, yeah.
No, I wouldn't. If I was Jerry Jones and I was trying to sell the Cowboys today, you don't come into the room with less than $10 billion if it's going to be a real bidding war.
Yeah. I mean, not even. I mean, don't even bother.
Don't even come in.
Don't even dial one.
And don't give me your 9.9 crap. It better be a full double digit in front of that B.
Yep.
Right? We're not playing around here. So,
we're starting at 10.
That's crazy. That's crazy. I mean, that global icon, a Dallas star. And that's why we're amazed, because the Charlotte Hornets, I don't see Charlotte Hornets gear anywhere I go.
Ever.
Right?
You might
and
see.
And that's worth $5 billion, $4 billion?
You might see an old school Larry Johnson.
Yes. Jersey. The old starter jackets back in the Larry Johnson days. Somebody still might be having one of those.
So maybe you'll see like the Larry Johnson jersey.
Right.
But outside of Charlotte, I don't think I've ever seen anything Charlotte.
I mean, I don't see Frank Kaminsky jerseys floating. Is he even still on that team? I don't even know.
Was he?
I don't
on
even
team?
Know. Is Gordon Hayward still on the team?
The only one I think one of the Ball brothers on
that
team?
Yeah, I think it's LaMelo.
LaMelo.
Who can't
stay healthy or something.
Yeah, LaMelo Ball is on that team. He's the best player. Terry Rozier led them in scoring. I don't see Terry Rozier jerseys all over the place. You're telling me that's a $4 billion franchise? God bless it. That's fantastic.
Or more, because we don't know how much Michael's selling.
That's right.
I mean, what, he owned like, was it like 59% of it or something?
Yeah. By the way, look, Frank Kaminsky is no longer on the Charlotte Hornets. I had to know.
Of course you did.
LaMelo Ball, Gordon Hayward. Trying to find anybody else that might. Kelly Oubre, Terry Rozier. These are players. I'm not PJ Washington. I'm not seeing these players' jerseys all over the place, and that's a $4 billion. Come on. What's Golden State worth? I'm trying to think of other franchises that are like decent enough. Like, I mean, goodness, I'm trying to think. What are the Miami Heat worth? Right? $4 billion.
Yeah,
possibly,
now I'm seeing here that Jordan, when he bought the team in 2010, he bought it outright or controlled 97% of the team for $175 million.
Okay.
Or what? He bought the entire Hornets for $275
million. Wow.
And later he sold 20% to New York based investors. So that would be 80%, right?
Okay, so They're saying Jordan, I saw this one tweet, Jordan's made $95 million as a player. He's made $1.8 billion with his lifetime deal from Nike and now making $3 billion on this sale. He's now got an estimated value of over $5 billion. Michael Jordan. That's fantastic. What a businessman. What a businessman. Now I definitely want to watch Air. Now I definitely want to watch how that all went down. Because, man, it takes athletes a long time to get a billion.
It does.
It does. It takes them a long time.
Unless like, you buy a team.
You know, all this stuff that they do, all the investments that they have. Like Phil Mickelson was bragging on Twitter that he's close to a billion. That guy's been a professional golfer for 32 years. And he's talking about he's close to a billion.
He's never going to be a billionaire. You're never going to be a billionaire playing your sport.
No, you have to be a billionaire doing something else with your money.
Unless it's another 15, 20 years from now.
Yeah. Like, can you imagine being Tiger Woods' financial advisor? What Tiger's invested in? What Tiger's put his money into? What Tiger could afford? I mean, that's, if you're doing good with your investments, like Michael did with whatever, but God bless you, man. If you can get hold of one of these teams.
That's the way to make money now. Make money. I mean, just sit back and just watch it just multiply year after year after year.
You know what? I was thinking about that little thing we were saying about the Cowboys. I actually could see one of like his great grandsons selling that team. I could see it. And the more I thought about it, I was like, the Jones would never sell it. And I'm like, no, you never know. You never know with family. Once another generation comes in, you don't know what they'll do with it.
Yeah.
They might. For
the Cowboys, I don't believe Steve is going to sell it.
No, not Steven. No.
He's been ingrained too much. But how do we know it's not like, when Steven's a great grandfather?
Right. You're right.
And then, how do we know it's not one of those guys?
That's why you got to grab your kids in the family business and you got to get them in the family business. You got to go, this is the most important thing in your life, and just drill it into their heads at a young age. Your family will be ashamed of you if you ever sell this thing. But I mean, you could reach a point as an owner where you go, listen, I could get $15 billion for this. I don't have to talk to the media or deal with all that. Ugh. I can disappear and I'll just live a quiet billionaire life. But, like we said, it's an exclusive club that not everybody can get into.
Yeah. And I think the Hornets, I think it's, since it's NBA, I think the global market plays a big role in this, in the valuation.
Yeah.
I think it's hard for us to say, why is $3 billion, for the Hornets? What would the Cowboys be worth? I don't think we can compare the two together.
Yeah, there's an international money fund that they get from.
Over in China, there's a lot more Hornets jerseys. We don't know.
Yeah, but it also may be their piece of the pie on that international market is so big that it just makes it the valuation so much better. Because all those media rights that come from all the countries around the world that like NBA basketball. Yeah, so there you go. Close to. Well, we're just estimating here that it's got to be close to $4 billion, the worth of the Charlotte Hornets. Congratulations, Michael.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue on Wake Up Call. So Mike Florio of ProFootballTalk.com, there was a controversial opinion article not that long ago about former Bills punter Matt Areza. Remember him, the San Diego State punter that was accused of rape, right, of a woman? But no charges were filed, and he actually said there was really no evidence that he participated in this, and she is still pending a civil lawsuit against him, and that she would accept $50,000, and Matt Areza said that he will not do so. He said that basically settling is admitting guilt. That's not true. That's not what happened. And then Florio pointed out that actually this is incorrect, that if you just sometimes you just got to settle and it just goes away and then you can go on with your life. But I'm kind of disagreeing with that. Now, I'm not a lawyer and he did study law. So I'm going to lean into that more of that expertise. But he writes, Areza is incorrect in his assessment of what settlement means. Settling for $50,000 is a business proposition, since it likely will cost him at least $50,000 to mount a proper defense to the case through trial. Even if he wins, he's still out $50,000. Why not pay the $50,000 and guarantee that there won't be any adverse verdict?
I got issues with this.
I do too.
I can understand where what Mike Florio is saying.
Right.
I can understand that. Hey, you're going to spend that money anyways.
Just give it to her. It goes away. You get on with your career.
Right.
There may be a perception of guilt, but this is an admission of guilt.
Listen, you know what? Kobe retired as a god in the NBA.
Right.
You know, we look fondly on Kobe, especially more so after his death. His death was, you know, we thought was going to be the biggest news story of 2020. You know, it turned out it wasn't. But, you know, we had this conversation. Kobe's, you know, second best player ever. And the narrative of what happened in Colorado is kind of getting smaller and smaller and pushed aside. And we're always, you know, we're forgetting about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, yeah, he did settle. We don't know. I don't know if he admitted guilt or anything, but he settled. And it was out of court. It was done.
Yeah, they didn't have enough. The woman didn't want to testify, and the prosecution screwed up. One of the things that they did in that Colorado case was she didn't want to testify, and then so they went out and they said we had enough evidence, but we needed her. And we feel like with that, we don't have the case. And then people said, you know, that's kind of cheap. Like, if you have the evidence, then go forward with it. Like, you're the state of Colorado. You're not, this isn't her and her family. Because that was what the other misconception about that trial was, that people will say, well, she doesn't have the money like Kobe has the money. It wasn't her. It was a criminal trial, and it's the state of Colorado against Kobe. It wasn't her against Kobe. That's a civil, that would be a civil case. If you take it, if you were, you go to civil court to get damages, mm-hmm. then you would need your own resources. But if it's a criminal case, that's up to the state to provide that. So that was they messed that up. But you're right, that disappeared. This is a civil case too, because they're not going to prosecute him. They don't have enough evidence to prosecute him. But he's saying, look, I didn't do this.
Right. He's completely innocent.
Right,
and there's a lot of fact backing that up, that he wasn't even at the party. He was somewhere else. I mean, he has all that stuff. And for me, it sounds more like, oh, she's just going for the cash grab.
That's right. And so when Florio writes, why not just give her the money and get rid of it? Because he shouldn't give the money to somebody he didn't do anything to.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Does this open the door now for every single person to go, yeah, by the way, we were at a bus stop once. Give me $50,000. Like, of course not. If you have a case against this guy, bring the case against this guy. But if you I like the idea of Adam Carolla did this once, where he was getting sued and a guy told him, yeah, give me $100,000. And, you know, Adam Carolla said, I'll spend $200,000 before I give you $100,000.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't matter to me. I'll spend money, more money than it, because I'll know you won't have it. That's the overall point. I get it, what you're trying to say here. It's like, he wants to play in the NFL. If he can get this behind him as quickly as possible, he also does run the risk of getting to court, and maybe somehow, some way, her case wins. If, you know, and then he's got to, he runs the risk of that, and that could derail him further. But can you? I know he's a punter, so it's not like he's a quarterback that has a weekly press conference. But do you really want to go to a team and be answering these questions on a settlement? Being like, it's a non-disclosure, I can't get into it. And then people going, well, what does that say about you? I guess we'll make up our own opinions on that. No, he's like, no, there was no criminal trial. There's not going to be a civil trial. If there is, I'm going to fight it, because I'm not going to have my name smeared. I have integrity.
Yeah,
I did not do this, and no one's getting $50,000 of my money claiming I did.
Like, I mean, I'm with you. I get where Florio is coming from. Right. I couldn't do it.
I couldn't do it either.
This, I mean, it's just, it's too much of, you know, you got to take a stand somewhere, because we keep seeing this over and over again. Trevor Bauer, I mean, I'm not saying he's a good man,
right?
You know, by any stretch of the means, but that girl ruined his career.
No question.
You know, and then for her to come out and say, no, it wasn't true. It was consensual and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, saying all those things. I mean, he's over in Japan now trying to just resurrect something.
Remember the Duke lacrosse case, right?
Yeah, Duke lacrosse.
The Duke lacrosse case was, if you've ever seen the 30 for 30, and I think it's titled Fantastic Lies, which is the term one of the guys used in the press conference. You've all been told a bunch of fantastic lies. Well, that here, I watched that 30 for 30, and I remember going, all right, I know they got exonerated and whatnot. They got, and you know, there was no DNA evidence, and they had a – so these guys get accused of this rape of this stripper, and then they go get high-powered lawyers – because their family had money. So their families all pooled in and got them, like, got the best lawyers they could. And these guys showed DNA evidence didn't match. There was an ATM camera that had two of them on camera, I think, two, I think. They were at a completely different location on the city when this alleged attack occurred. They all this evidence that showed they weren't there, that she left. The woman also had falsely accused a number of other people. There was all this evidence, right? But at the end of the documentary, right? At the end of the documentary, they ask one of the reporters. They had one of the reporters who covered the case. And he goes, did these guys do it? Probably not. And I'm thinking to myself, see, this is why they fight it. You got all the evidence. All the evidence shows they weren't even there. This is a lie. This is false. There's all this evidence. There's no DNA, nothing. Everything points to the kids not doing this. And this one reporter's like, yeah, but, you know, Duke kids. Yeah, they probably did. I don't know. They probably didn't do it. But, you know, that's what he's fighting. That's what this punter, Matt Araiza, is fighting, is that if I settle this, right, and there's no evidence that I did this, and in fact, the lack of evidence is so much, they didn't even prosecute me criminally for this. But if I settle this, am I going to go into the NFL with people going, probably. I probably did it. He's like, no, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
Even when you win, if people want to believe you did it, they'll believe you did it. And so he's like, and settling, I'm sorry. I know this is a wrong mentality because I shouldn't be thinking this, but I can't help it. When I hear somebody settle something, I always think that they probably did it.
Yep.
Right? Now, I know that's wrong. I know Mike Florio is correct, that these are business decisions where it's like, just go away. I didn't do this, but if you just get out of here, we'll just end this. We're done. I know that goes on. And I know there's plenty of innocent people who have paid off a settlement because it's going to drag too long and they don't have time for it. Okay. And you know what? They also want to protect something else. They go, you know what? If I settle this, I didn't do this, but I don't want in court this or this or this to come up. And so it's a business decision. I get it. But I think for a lot of us, when we hear so-and-so settled, we go, yeah, they probably did it. They probably did that. And I think that's what this young man is fighting for. He was, what did they call him? Punt God or something?
Yeah.
Remember he had that nickname? He could punt it like 90 yards or something crazy like that. Just, he had these videos of him punting it a tremendous amount of distance and he was incredible at it. And the Bills took him. And then when this came up, the Bills released him immediately.
Immediately. No headaches at all. It's like, none. Can't have anything to derail our Super Bowl season.
Yep. We are not getting involved in this. We are not fighting for you. We are not going to stick up for you. You go handle it. And if you come out of this clean, maybe we'll sign you to a contract or maybe you'll go somewhere else, whatever it is. But right now, we do not need to be talking about our punter to the media. So I don't blame this kid for saying, you know what? I'm going to take it to court. And that's it. I'm gonna go through it, even if I run the risk of losing. I'm not giving her any money because I didn't do this stuff. Again, it really riled a lot of people's attention. Of boy, this is terrible advice from Mike Florio, but I do understand where he's coming from.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now. On the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us again on Twitter at Tony D Radio at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. I hope you guys have a great weekend. Again, we'll be back Monday. So yesterday I told you I made lasagna, meatballs for the family.
Yep.
So I'm making dinner. Yay! But my wife said before I did it, because she knew I was busy with some stuff. I had to do a Formula One podcast, and I was kind of busy. But I said, no, I'll make it. Then she goes, well, we could do it Sunday. And I go, oh, Father's Day? Yeah, you want me to cook a full Italian meal on Father's Day? Yeah, okay, yeah, no problem. Just remember that on Mother's Day when I go, hey, happy Mother's Day. I really like your chili.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you would rather enjoy making breakfast this morning.
Exactly. You know what? That's a great idea. In fact, if you wouldn't mind, I'd like my I like my eggs scrambled, and if you could make my bacon just a little bit crispy,
yeah,
I appreciate it. Happy Mother's Day.
Yep.
Yeah. She goes, oh yeah. I go, what do you mean, oh yeah? Like you, I reminded you that Sunday was Father's Day. She goes, I skip my mind. Skip your mind.
We were thinking about barbecuing, but it might be better off just throwing it on the street. Same sizzling's going to happen this weekend. It's just that hot.
Oh yeah, right. Just put it on the street.
Yep.
How do you like your steak?
How do you like your steak?
A little bit of gravel. I know.
It'll cook just the same.
It's
just pepper. Pepper.
Just pepper.
I love that, though. Yeah, you should cook lasagna. You should have waited.
I should.
What's wrong with you?
I know. I should wait till Father's Day. Cooked all the lasagna noodles. Made the meatballs.
And Tony, now that you're done doing that, how about just take care of the dishes tonight?
Yeah, exactly. Why not? Sure, why not? It's Father's Day. It's my day of relaxation.
No.
I'm going to chill out. I don't know what I'm going to do on Father's Day.
U.S. Open's in the future.
U.S. Open, definitely. I got the Canadian Grand Prix. I'm going to watch that in Montreal. But then I'm going to watch the U.S. Open.
Yeah, I don't know what else is on.
I don't know what else. Maybe I'll go hit golf balls or something.
I mean, you know what else? I mean, later on that evening, I don't know what time it is, but I think USA plays against Canada.
They could do that. Sure.
That'll be something.
Why not? Might as well do something.
If not, I'll tell you all about it on Monday.
My wife's like, did you want to go out to dinner? I go, no, I'm not going out to dinner because I'm not going to walk into a restaurant and they go, hi, party of three. Yeah, it'll be 6.5 hours.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. No, thank you.
Yeah, my wife asked me the same thing. She's like, what do you want to do? And I said, I just want to hang out.
That's all I want to do.
I mean,
nothing.
You know what? If there are any wives listening, girlfriends listening, it's very, very easy.
Oh, I know.
Father's Day, we don't want to do anything.
We don't want gifts. We don't want cards. Just let us do. Don't make us mow the lawn. We don't want to do anything. Just let us do nothing.
We want to sleep in, and then we want to walk around in our PJs for an hour or two, and not be hassled about. You're going to get dressed soon. You're going to take a shower soon.
No, that's the thing. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I want to walk around in my bedroom clothes until you get sick of it.
Yeah.
Until it's like 3:30 and you're like,
all right. Now we've reached that point.
Now, if you wouldn't mind could you put something on that's relatively respectable?
At 3:30 in the afternoon, I get it.
Yeah.
No, I get it. I'm fine.
Yeah, man.
So, but prior to 3:30, If you're just mildly annoyed, we haven't reached that stage yet.
I'm looking forward to this U.S. Open now that everybody's getting birdies.
Oh my God.
I'm going to dive on into this one this weekend.
Yeah, we're going to watch the first 50s in the U.S. Open.
I hope Ricky Fowler wins this.
Can you hit 56? Is that too low?
Yeah, is that too low?
Come on.
They had two hole-in-ones yesterday on the 15th hole.
Everyone was saying, that's a tricky hole, man. Yeah, guys 78 are gonna lay yards.
Up. It's so hard. Guys are going to lay up. They're like... Dunk. Sam Burns. Dunk.
I think it was a French guy. You know what it reminded me of? All of a sudden, you watched that hole. It's like, all right, this is what probably professionals do look like at Topgolf.
Yeah, right.
Okay. Yeah. I was always curious about that.
I just want to know if there's any ringers at Topgolf.
There always are.
Oh, I've never played before. What do you do? Swing this club? What do you do? Try to hit this ball?
Look how funny this
thing
looks.
What am I aiming at? I don't even know. What do I aim at?
It's the big knob at the end for.
Yeah. Oh, I usually go by myself, and a lot of times I'll get paired up with somebody. They'll go, hey, you want to play with these people? And I'm like, oh yeah, no problem. And there's always, every now and then there's a guy, they'll come in, he doesn't wear a glove, and he has like a mismatched bag of clubs, and he's like, I never get out, I never play, ah, ha, ha. And then he stripes one down the middle at like 280. It's like, oh man, I got a hold of that one. Oh goodness.
Best shot I'll hit all day.
Yeah, best shot I hit all day. Yeah, and then he shoots like 74, and you're like, oh, okay. You know, you don't have to sandbag on this. We weren't playing for money.
Yeah.
Like, you could just say, I was a collegiate golfer, and I still play to this day.
Or, you know, that I'm just a scratch golfer, but I play every single day.
I don't even know what this is. Is this a 9-iron? Is this a wood? I don't even know. I'm just hitting shots. Yeah, sure you are. I always love that guy. Draining it from 25 feet out. Whoa! Thought it would go left! Ha-ha! Yeah.
So. Hey, watch this. I'm just going to close my eyes, and I'm going to look this way, and I'm just going to swing the club one-handed.
Yeah, right.
And just see what happens.
I wonder if there's anybody at Top Golf, like the company outings, and the girl's like, oh, this is my boyfriend, Mike. Mike's plopping him in from all over the
right.
targets, ruining it for everybody that just wants to have a good time at Top Golf.
Yeah, going, yay, great, Mike's up again. Yay.
Mike.
Look what he just hit. He got 10 points.
Ooh, I like Top Golf.
I do too.
Tiger Woods has got a putting course.
I've done it.
You did? Yeah, you were telling me.
I did. So it was kind of fun. Pop stroke,
yeah.
And it's a fun golf course, mini golf course, because it's not your traditional golf course. You're not hitting it against a wall, you know, and having it bounce this way. But I mean, there are walls, so you can play that way. But what makes this course fun is that there are hills.
Like breaks and stuff.
Yeah, so you actually gotta. I mean, no, I'm saying like there's little hills.
like real hill. Yeah.
You gotta go up a hill and down a hill, and you know, like kind of read it that way. And then there's bunkers, and the bunkers are just white turf, but you know, there's bunkers that you can hit out of. I mean, it's like so. It's not your stereotypical. Oh, let me see if I hit it through the windmill, or do I go for the second hole or the third hole? Because then it'll pop out over there down below. It's nothing like that.
That's pretty cool.
And it's just, it looks like, I don't know if he modeled it after certain holes, because, you know, it doesn't say.
Now, that would be cool. Now, that kind of would be neat, except I don't know how familiar people are with, like, hey, this is the third hole at Troon. And you're like, what is that?
Yeah, I think
that's
the problem.
You know, it's like, what is
that? You would recognize some of them, right? You'd recognize the Island Green.
Yeah, you recognize the Island Green.
Okay, I got to hit it all the way around.
It would be cool, I think it would be cool if you could recreate like the 16th at the Masters, where remember those shot mm-hmm. where Tiger hit it up the ridge and it came down and it hung on the lip of the cup and went in. Like that's a fun hole to putt because there's different angles. But I don't know how much the average person would recognize that. But it still would be kind of cool. But yeah, they're planning on building one in Nashville.
Yeah, it was. So. It's a blast, man. It's a blast. So.
No, I like the U.S. Open. I've gone back and forth with this morning. I don't want this to be 17 under par. I just don't. But at the same time, I really don't want it to be a bloodbath. You know what I mean? Where guys are like, I can't even hold the green, man. I can't even. I hit a shot, it lands 2 feet from the hole, and then it just dribbles off 70 yards. No, I'm not doing that. But what happened yesterday was, I almost felt bad for the USGA. They're like, oh, this isn't a tough test. We bragged about it. There's an ad they're running where Jordan Spieth says it means you winning the US Open means you've conquered the toughest test in golf. I'm like, yeah, 262s isn't exactly ripping, making the golfers get down on their knees and pray that for better conditions. But. This has got a wide open leaderboard, man. Ricky Fowler is one of the more popular guys to ever play in the tour without winning a major. Kids love him. Women love him. He came on the scene very young. He was very young. He was playing in the Ryder Cup, I think, at like 20. Just burst onto the scene. Super talented kid. Had a game that went nowhere and now is coming back. So I wouldn't mind seeing him win, but Dustin Johnson is right there. And Paul Azinger made a point, which I think is well said. Dustin Johnson may have one of the greatest victories in major championship golf when he won the U.S. Open in 2016 at Oakmont, because it came 1 year after he three-putted on the 18th hole from 12 feet at Chambers Bay that gave the U.S. Open to Jordan Spieth. He had an eagle putt, and he missed the putt, and so he needed to make the putt to force a playoff, and he missed that, and Jordan Spieth won the U.S. Open. And he bounced right back and was like, whatever. I'm dating Paulina Gretzky. I'm good. I'll just come back and beat y'all next year. And he did. Came right back and destroyed everybody at Oakmont. That's Dustin John. He's on the leaderboard, too, at 6 under par as we start round two today. Hey, enjoy your weekend, everybody. We'll be back Monday to recap the Open and all the news and notes.
Yeah, and happy Father's Day to all you fathers.
Happy Father's Day to all of you out there. Wake up, call.